This gentleman is one of the heavy hundred, one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America. Quoting Talkers Magazine, he has reached iconic status in the African-American community. A morning drive Baltimore urban mainstay. Our very own Larry Young from 1010 AM WOLB.
1010 WOLB has been named the best radio station in Baltimore by the readers and Baltimore City Paper. Baltimore City Paper quoted the often too liberal side of NPR and the ramblings of conservative talk show hosts such as Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity that WOLB 1010 AM's Larry Young is a fresh start to your wake-up morning.
Some call him the senator. Some call him the chairman. Some call him doctor. We, the WOLB family, call him L.Y. Ladies and gentlemen, Baltimore's best, Larry Young.
Nationally recognized, bringing you all of today's political, community, and hot wire information.
It's 9:05 here on 1010 WOLB, high of 54, low of 24, sunny. Right now it's about 30 degrees. You know what I say, every day above ground is a good day. God is truly awesome that he is. Let's go over to our newsmaker line, and we have on the newsmaker line the candidacy of Heather Pazor, and I believe we're going to also be joined at the same time by the lieutenant governor candidate as well. And this is an exclusive, so mark it down. Put it at the water cooler for talk, because you heard it right here on the Larry Young Morning Show. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Senator. How are you today?
We're doing fine. We're doing fine.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Good morning to you both again. Well, I got to say that you've been making a lot of news up this way, a delegate interested in running for governor. Your tax package got some good coverage, your education package, and now you have decided to put your candidate for lieutenant governor in front of us. So you choose how you want to do this for the remaining 24 minutes we got together here.
Well, thank you so much, Senator, for inviting both of us to be on. And you're right, this is the first opportunity we've had to appear together after announcing our ticket last night before a roaring crowd at the American Legion in downtown Silver Spring. This campaign for us is about issues and energy and enthusiasm, and we've got both of those. Very, very excited, like you said, about the ideas that we are generating this campaign. Would love an opportunity to talk to your listeners about our ideas on how to eliminate the achievement gaps in our schools, how to make sure that middle-class families are able to earn more and be taxed less, and very much interested in introducing this partnership to your listeners as well, because there's no team that's going to work harder for the future of Maryland than Heather Mazier and Delmon Coates.
Well, obviously, the question of going about making a selection such as this one before the lieutenant governor nominee speaks up, but how did you go about making the selection?
I took this decision very seriously, and for me, it wasn't just about picking a running mate in order to win an election. This was about choosing someone who would be a best partner in governing after we win, someone who shares my values for progressive change, community engagement, and ending politics as usual in Annapolis. And for a number of years, one of my closest friends and confidants in politics and in making a difference in the lives of everyday people in this state has been Pastor Delmon Coates in Prince George's County. We've teamed up on a number of signature issues over the years, and he has shown me time and time again that his value and commitment to social justice and community service isn't limited to Sundays. He's rolled up his sleeves day in and day out to make a difference in our communities, and I'd like to have him say a few words about our partnership as well.
By all means.
Well, good morning, Senator, and good morning to all of your listeners. I am just thrilled and delighted to join Delegate Heather Mazier to partner with her in electing Delegate Mazier as the next governor of the state of Maryland. And I decided to join her because I believe that this is an opportunity for Marylanders to put the people first in governing. I think there's a general sense that Annapolis has drifted away from the people, and that when it comes to addressing the issues that all of us are concerned about, rebuilding the middle class, lifting people out of poverty, addressing criminal justice reform, fixing our broken infrastructure, there's a sense in which the priorities of the people have to take a back seat to the special interests of party leaders and campaign donors and special interests. And I think we need a change, a paradigm shift in the way in which governing takes place in Annapolis. And I think that this ticket represents an opportunity for us to govern from the bottom up rather than the top down. And I've committed my entire professional life to addressing the concerns and needs of the people in the community that we serve all across the state.
Now, one of the things that I have been told about you, Pastor, is that you are the senior pastor there at your church, and that you've been there since 2004, and your congregation, my, sir, has jumped from 1,800 to 8,000 members. That makes you mega size, sir.
Well, yes. Well, you know, I think mega ministry is not about style. It's about size. It's about substance. And I think that's why folks have been drawn to our particular ministry, that we have developed a ministry that's been committed certainly to spiritual renewal, but also community uplift. I've been an advocate on the front lines of a range of civil rights issues, and our congregation, I find that people are looking for clergy leaders who are committed to social justice, committed to community outreach, and this is really very central and core to my personal and theological values and convictions. And I think that it's now time for us to extend that work. We have so many issues confronting us and our community all across this state, and I'm looking forward to getting out to every corner of the state as we share this message for making a difference in the state of Maryland.
I also see here you're married to the lovely Yolanda.
Yes, Yolanda and I have been married for 18 years. We met in college. We both went to historically black college. I went to Morehouse College, and my wife Yolanda went to Spelman College. We have four lovely children, a 10 and 7-year-old sons and twin daughters. They're 4 years of age.
Twin daughters, mama. All right. Well, Pastor, now let me say, when I heard about you being selected, there will be some who will say that with a congregation of that size and the roles that you have already shared that you've been a voice and an advocate for, now you're about to take on a campaign to become lieutenant governor. You've just said you intend to go around the state. Is the active role of a minister coming not to be a delegate or a senator, as we know some already are, but now you're coming to take the high echelon of lieutenant governor, and if your team is successful, 4 to 8 years, could be a governor. All of that kind of consideration go into your thoughts before you accept it?
Well, you know, Senator, I wake up every morning not thinking about my professional future. I really don't. I wake up every morning thinking about how we can help families stay in their homes who've been impacted by the real estate collapse, how we can have first-rate schools for all of our young people. And in the African American church, there's a long history of clergy leaders who had parish ministries, but also were involved in other spheres of life, whether it's Reverend Walter Fauntroy, Dr. Floyd Flake in New York, Adam Clayton Powell, I mean, the list goes on. The current mayor of the city of Richmond, my hometown, where I was born, Richmond, Virginia, Dwight Jones, the mayor of the city of Richmond, pastors a prominent congregation in our city. And so African-American churches are not, there's a precedent for clergy leaders being involved in a variety of spheres, and in this instance, politics. But I don't think about my political future. I'm really interested in how we make change today so that our neighborhoods can be safer today, how our schools can be better today. You just mentioned schools that may be closing down in Baltimore, 7 schools. We need leaders who are accountable to the community rather than leaders who are accountable to the outside interests so that we can address these pressing issues. And I believe that Heather Mazier is one of those progressive, passionate, independent leaders who are going to be accountable to the people. And I'm glad to join her.
I was had an opportunity to see her recently, and the person I was with said, you know who she reminds me of? I said, no, Bella Abzug. I said, wow, I didn't know you were old enough to remember Bella. Bella had that feeling of you will do this because it's right. You will get this done because I'm going to stay on you until you appreciate that I'm standing for this cause for the right reasons. I thought it was a rather nice compliment to say that you were a Bella Abzug delegate.
Absolutely. I don't think I could wear a hat as well as she does, but I can definitely promote causes with the same fierce advocacy and passion for the people. And that's what Marylanders are looking for in their next governor and lieutenant governor. It is a team that is dedicated to end politics of settling for good enough and status quo and just promoting the person who's next in line. You know, some people run for governor because they want the job. I'm running for governor because I want to do the job. 8 years I've been a journalist to expand health insurance for uninsured children, family planning services for low-income pregnant women, making sure that we protect our state from unregulated shale gas drilling or fracking out in the western part of the state that has caused a lot of environmental concerns in other states that have chosen to do this. I stood and fought against the youth jail in Baltimore City to make sure that we weren't going to waste $70 million building a 120-bed facility for what were 40 youth in the system. I've talked passionately about the need to break the cradle-to-prison pipeline, the failed war on drugs, and our march to mass incarceration. And these issues are what I wake up every day excited to make a difference on. I am not running to make history here. I'm running to make a difference. And that is what struck a strong chord with Delman when I reached out to him about being a part of this team. You're not going to find two more enthusiastic, mobilized, passionate advocates of the people in public service than Heather Mazier and Delman Coates, and we're very much looking forward